This is the Family Culture Movement. Are you ready to break up with the dysfunctional beliefs and behaviors of our dominant culture and parent with intention? Then you're in the right place. The Family Culture Movement is where you'll learn how to take inventory of the narratives and social conditioning shaping your family dynamics and say no to the dominant culture. I'm your host, Jody Chafee. I'm going to help you break dysfunctional patterns and lead your family with confidence and resilience. Hey, if this is your first time tuning in, be sure to check out the last episode of the Family Culture Movement with Johanna Buss, where we talked about what it means to be a stable parent. Welcome to the show, Tara Bashaw. Tara is a freelance coach and business strategist who helps parents and caregivers turn their existing skills into a business of their own so they can have the freedom and flexibility they need in life. She is a wife, a mom of 8 kids, and a grandma, grandma who homeschools the 5 remaining kids at home. Tara is no stranger to life sneaking up on you when you least expect it and wants others to know a J-O-B is not the only way to support your family when life happens. Tara, I'm so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, this is awesome. I love this topic that we're going to talk about and how to serve families who I love this, that what you say, like what happens when life happens and least expected happens. Like, oh, that just makes my heart, like getting me chills just thinking about that. So, okay. But first I want to ask you an icebreaker question. What did you want to be when you grew up, when you were a kid?
You know, I actually, ironically enough, I wanted to be a teacher. I loved playing school and I loved doing workbooks and worksheets and all that fun stuff, which is still carried through today because I'm like addicted to buying curriculum for my kids as we homeschool.
Yep. I always want to keep buying more stuff. Like, oh, we'll try another one. That's cool. So how did that, like, obviously you became a teacher, but in a different kind of way. How did that desire then inspire who you became?
Yeah, so it was interesting because I when I got into high school, by that time I hated school, so I could never imagine actually like being there as an adult. And so I didn't actually pursue, obviously, being a teacher, but it did end up I have these leader tendencies. You know, I'm the person that people come to when they have questions or when they need resources and they don't know how to find them. Obviously, I have 8 kids. So like I've got, you know, basically, you know, half my own classroom. Right. And it really did carry through though, in the way that I work with people and teach people and coach people and things like that, because I've taken what I know and I've turned that now into being a coach and helping teach people skills and different things that they need to move their career forward. So
that's awesome. Well, that you took, you know, this concept of basically teaching as service, like solving problems and helping people. And that is what, you know, I love that you're able to take that strength. You know, it's like growing up when you're thinking, oh, I want to be that when I grow up. They're so limited, right? To the constructs of whatever it is in that community or test that you took or something like that. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up in a small town in Michigan. And so all of the test results had to do something to do with agriculture or being a secretary, you know? And so it's like, you know, it's unfortunate to think of all the kids who were like, oh yeah, I'm just going to grow up and be not that being a farmer is a bad thing, but that was just, there wasn't anything beyond that, or to look at what is it there that is their strength that they could develop into something that's unusual maybe. And, you know, this whole idea that a lot of those jobs that when we were a kid saying, oh yeah, you took the test and you fall under these categories, those jobs aren't going to exist in the next 20 years. Right. So.
Yeah. No, that's funny. I grew up and I'm still here in a small town in Minnesota, Northwest Minnesota. And I actually live in what's referred to as the Red River Valley. So it's like, you can see for miles and miles and miles of flat land because it's all farms. And I actually grew up as a farmer's daughter. And so I know exactly what you're talking about in terms of, you know, people in my local community. I mean, that was basically, they're either farmers or they're running the businesses that serve the farmers. So I know exactly 100% what you're talking about.
So that's cool that you were able to take it and kind of spin it to honor who you are, and the people that really need you and need what you can bring to them. So that's awesome. Okay. So now I want to get into some of the nitty gritties of the conversation. And what I like to ask is, considering how you teach people about being a freelance, being entrepreneurs, what is it in the dominant culture that, you know, what belief or behavior is dysfunctional that you feel like you want to help change and bring more awareness to?
So I am a firm believer, honestly, that like family is everything. And I feel that our culture, our dominant culture now, is like the parents are supposed to go to work and send the kids to school, and that somehow other people are supposed to raise our kids while we're trying to pay the bills. And it's just not, that's just not the way it should be. And we wonder how, like, over the years, why our society has kind of started to crumble. And it's because other people are raising our children. Now, is sending them to school always a bad thing? I mean, honestly, some people can't help it, right? Like, I mean, you might be a single parent, or you might have had something, you know, happen, or you don't know better. That's really honestly the biggest thing, is people don't know better. They don't know that this whole other world is out here, and so they don't know better. But I think that that has had a lot to do, again, with the breakdown of the family unit, because we're sending our kids off to pre-K at 4 years old and kindergarten at 5 years old. Like, they're babies. They want mom, you know, they want mom and dad. And it's when they're spending 7 to 8 hours a day with someone else, they're learning their thoughts, their principles, the way that they, you know, there's indoctrination going on. I don't care if people believe it or not, but there's truly indoctrination going on, and it starts from a super young age. And so that's where I feel that our predominant or our dominant culture right now is having an effect on where we're going as a society in the future.
Right. Well, and you're exactly right. People don't know any better. I mean, the dominant culture is like trying to get on the highway, go on a destination, and you're like, well, oh, all these cars must be know where they're going, so we're going to just keep going on this path. Because it's like, oh, we don't have the big picture. We can't see what's off the mainstream highway, right? We can't see what's out there until somebody comes in with a bird's eye view or something and says, actually, there's a better way. And the reality is, this isn't the way that it's always been. It's right. Only been for what, the last maybe 50, 60 years or something?
Yep. I think it was right around, I mean, it really became, I think, mainstream normalized when, I think, like around the war and stuff, when, you know, the dads were gone to war and the moms had to go to work and they needed somewhere for the kids to go and to train them to be workers in a factory, you know.
Yep.
And people don't think about that, but I mean, you know, they're trained to react when the bell rings and to stand in line and to raise your hand to speak and to have lunch and, you know, at a certain time. So, I mean, that's basically what it was meant for.
Yeah. You know. Well, and that's one of the funny questions when people ask, when I'm homeschooling, well, what about socialization? And I'm just like, I don't, you know, that line from The Princess Bride comes to my mind. Like, I don't think you know what that means, really. Like, that doesn't mean what you think it means, right? Because I hear socialization and I hear social conditioning, social indoctrination, conforming, right? Yeah. I can't think of the bigger word for that for some reason. Conformity, that's the word. You know, but people are like, well, yeah, duh. And they don't see a problem with that. And so it's like, wait, what? How is that not a problem to think that we don't know what our kids are being socially conditioned into anymore?
Right. Yeah, no. People don't, it's interesting. So I'll give a little bit of context or background kind of about myself, because I think when people hear, you know, people like you and I, and we're kind of like downgrading the public system, and we're like, oh, but that's, you know, they get offended a little bit.
Right.
And so I'll give my perspective as to where my thoughts came in terms of the socialization and the, you know, how that can ruin people. So I grew up, like I said, in a small community. I was born, you know, I'm the fifth child of parents who were married up until my mom died in February. They were married 56 years. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. And thank you. And it's very, so I came from like the together family, right? But when you go to school, it isn't about academics anymore. Once you're in high school, it isn't about academics for most kids. It's about survival. It is about fitting in. It is about being accepted and doing whatever you got to do so that you're not teased and you're not the target of ridicule, right? And so when I was in high school, I was like every other kid, you know, you're trying to conform, you're trying to whatever, and you're trying to fit in. And lo and behold, I found myself pregnant at 15 years old. And that was because obviously peer pressure and trying to fit in. And it wasn't about learning, you know, school is supposed to be about academics. It shouldn't all be about socialization, because you can get socialization anywhere. You can get it at church. You can get it at the grocery store. You can get it at grandma and grandpa's house. You can get it if you have siblings. Like, it's everywhere. It doesn't have to just be about school. And so for me, it was like, okay, I understand now, like, how influenced I was, right, at school and being around my friends and trying to fit in. And not only that, but then when I was 19 years old, I started working for a mental health center. And I was a transcription, maybe I was 21, sorry. And I did transcription, mental health reports. And I did this for 19 years. And people don't understand the psychological issues that go on in children who are going to school where they're not accepted, where they are not, popular, where they are not, the cat's meow. These kids suffer and they are tortured in their own head based on their experiences. And so that's where like my unique perspective comes in, from my experience in public school. My older kids were in public school, and then working in the mental health field and seeing how much damage is done in the conformity of society. It was like, I could not, with good intentions, put my younger kids back into a school that I felt did me wrong. Right. And so, and I noticed with my older kids, how conformed they were, how they acted was based on who they hung around, who accepted them, and the struggles that they went through, and the depression and the anxiety and the suicidal thoughts and all of those things that come with it. Right. Like people just say, oh, it's just a teenager, but it's not just a teenager.
I hate that. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not. Not at all.
It's literally about all this. And I'm sorry, I get off on a tangent there, but
I love it.
That's where, you know, I feel like I have the right to say this is a damage to the family unit in society, because this is based on my experience and not just mine. We're talking the hundreds or thousands of mental health reports I typed over my 20 years. And even people my age right now, 42 years old, are still struggling with the effects of things that they went through in high school.
Well, yeah, 100%. There's so many things that I could go off of with that. Cause it's like, there's social pressure. And when there is academic pressure, there's that academic pressure and like to succeed and all of the, you know, to compulsory education and all that. It just, all of those, there's so many things I could spin off of this, what you just talked about. And I can't even talk straight. But yeah, it's like, our kids' mental health is totally deteriorating. It's not just the kids who are the losers, quote unquote, whatever. I read a study once, and this is totally off of memory, that even kids who are the popular kids, they don't go on to succeed because they have this like inflated idea of themselves. And then they get out there into the world, or the first time they get criticism and they are deflated, they crumble, right? Yeah. There's so many different things that cause the problems. So my question about this then is like, let's go into more about what is keeping us here. What is keeping us in this societal belief? Like we talked about how, yes, there are people who just cannot, right? There's single parents or financially strained parents. That is just the idea of bringing their kids home is just implausible. Like they just can't even wrap their heads around it. Right. But like people are seeing how kids are deteriorating, shootings in schools and suicide and sexual identity, some people, they do view that as a problem, right? That's something that kids are becoming indoctrinated in is their sexual confusion and all these kinds of things, right? We see the problem. Why is it so hard to change if you have the capacity to bring your kids home?
So I think for people, it's actually kind of funny. I find this is, so for me, okay, so as having turned into an entrepreneur, having finally busted out of the conformity, right? And realizing how misconstrued all of that is. Okay. I'm finding that I'm able to do anything and be anything that I want to be, right? Because we have this wonderful thing called the internet. And what I'm finding is that so many people, because of their experiences in high school and because their self-esteem was so low and because they were, you know, told like that a job is the only way that they can do things and that their worth is based on the job that they have or their status, right? People don't find themselves being able to step outside of that box that they know, because like you said, they can't step out of a box that they don't know that there's something outside that box.
Right.
And so I find that everything about our childhoods and our conformity has affected everything that we are as we go moving forward. And so even those people who know that they need something else or want something else, they don't know that this something else this something else exists.
Right.
And so, you know, when they think like, okay, I want to be home with my kids, but I have no other options. Like that's where what I do comes in with helping people realize like, no, you can do something, like you can work from home. You can be home so that you can bring your kids home and you can be working alongside them doing their schoolwork. Like that is my big thing in trying to teach people that. But then right away the flags go up and they're right. Like, but I don't have skills. I'm not a teacher. Exactly. And so all those red flags go up, but because they don't know any better, they can't do any better because they don't know where to look or where to search. And so it's like, I feel like it's up to us, these, you know, as entrepreneurs to reach the people so that they can, like, we can tell them, no, it can't be different. Like, we're reaching our hand out to you to pull you up, because they don't know, and they can't see outside of what they don't know. One of my coaches told me a couple weeks ago, they said, like, people can only see what their past experiences are. They can't see what's ahead of them. And right. So when you, like, when they're worried about what they're going to lose, they can't see what they're going to gain, right? Like they're in their past experience and they can't see past that until one of us reaches out to them and says, no, it can be different. You can have a different experience. And it isn't until we say something that clicks, that makes them realize like, whoa, right?
Yeah, like, I can do this. Or there is something else.
Right.
Yeah.
And then once you've triggered that, you can't shut it off. And yeah. I think that's what's so exciting about this side over here, this side of the world. Because once we know what's possible, like there's just, then it's like, well, there's so many to choose from. Like, how did I not know this world was out here?
Yeah.
And then it gets exciting. And, yeah. And you know, and so for me, it's like, oh, I want to reach everybody because it's so fun out here.
So much more freedom, right? Like, so what I think you're saying, I kind of summarize, like first there's the awareness, right? When they start to get this awareness, okay, I'm unhappy or my kids are suffering or the society in general is suffering. But then the struggle is, I don't have there's only like tunnel view vision of like, this is only, I only have the capacity to have a job or, you know, and so it's building that awareness and then awareness of what the possibilities are. Like, okay, let's build up actually the result that we really want to get for you. Right. And that there's help available to get you that result. It's not just, okay, keep living day after day after day, doing the same thing and being miserable. There's more out here that you can attach to that's going to give you the life that you want. I mean, I think that so many people, they hear that and they're just like, oh no, that's a pipe dream or that's impossible. So it's like, okay, build the awareness that there's a problem, build the awareness that there's a solution, and then overcome those hurdles of, is there a way to actually do this where I'm making money from home, where I'm able to educate my kids, and that, yes, you can. So what is the first step then when people start to, they get that aha moment and they feel like I can do this, what is the first step towards their freedom?
So honestly, people get overwhelmed when they think of all the things that they need to do to get to their end result. And so basically what I tell people is figure out what that end result is that you want. Like, is it you want to be a bookkeeper from home or whatever, right? And then work backwards and determine like, okay, I want to be a bookkeeper at home. That's my goal. So what do I need to do to get there? Can I take a course? Do I need to go back to college? Which you don't. What steps do I need to do to make this happen? Right. And then when they know that they need to figure out those steps, then they can, I mean, Google is your best friend, honestly, right? Like, so people can go and you can start researching. And once you know, like, okay, I want to work from home as a bookkeeper, or I want to learn how to be a bookkeeper, whatever, and you start Googling, and all of these opportunities are going to start coming up, and all this information is going to start coming up. And knowledge is power. There's a reason for that term. And so as soon as you know, like, okay, I need to learn this. And so if I can do this, and you can mark that off your checklist, right? And then the next thing, until all of a sudden you have your client and you're working from home. It's really people. This is what I find so interesting. Excuse me. I'm trying to adjust. The people are so like, they think that college is the be all or end all to learning a new career and to making more money. And they are willing and eager to put down $60,000 to $80,000 before they ever before they're ever making any money. They are just fine with the idea of taking 2 years or more of their life to do it. And yet they don't want to take the time to just do some research and pay $1,000 for someone who's already done it to teach them step by step, and they could be working within 30 days and making money. And that again is the indoctrination.
Yes, I was just going to say that's where, but it's not just the indoctrination of okay, we were supposed to go to school, we're supposed to go to college. It's also the indoctrination that without those things, you are inadequate. You cannot learn this stuff on your own. It's like the way that school is organized is so passive, right? Like feed me, feed me, feed me, give me knowledge, give me knowledge. It's never, it's very rarely, unless you're in a private school or something. It's not so much of pull the student out and get them to do the work. You know, I mean, yeah, there is some element of it, but it's just enough to pass the grades or, you know, to get the tests or whatever. And so it's like, that's the other aspect about the indoctrination that's going on in our schools. That is like this undercurrent that's like telling and communicating to us that we are just losers, or that we have to depend on some authority teaching in front of a classroom in order to get those things. And that we need to be fed this knowledge rather than take a proactive approach to getting the information ourselves and connecting with somebody who has that information. And like you said, okay, shell out $1,000. You'll be making that money in a month, like you said. But it's testing that. That's a hurdle that some people are just like, but is this official? Is this, show me the proof, or what are your, show me your certification, show me your degrees. And I'm sorry, folks, but even degrees don't mean anything anymore. We're not getting the return on the investment in our colleges and our schools, and the jobs aren't available. And the people who went through those degrees and got the piece of paper, they aren't necessarily, they are the ones that just go, okay, feed me and check off the boxes and give me the piece of paper, say it's done. Are they really the best qualified?
Right. Well, that's just it. I mean, I think about, so I have an associate's degree, and I actually went to go get my certification and my degree based on the transcription that I had already been doing. And I didn't learn anything new that I had already learned on the job. And I mean, it was just, and I had only gone back to school because I had been laid off from my job and I qualified for like the displaced workers program. Right. And so this was back to, you know, about, whatever, 15 years ago or whatever. And so I did it because I thought it was going to help improve my situation. But this was before like I started diving into the whole freelancing world and realized that I didn't need that. And the best way that I can like tell people when they get to that objection of like, oh, I don't have a degree or I don't have a certification, it's like, does your you know, the last person that came and did replace carpet in your house or painted, did you ask them for their degree or their resume? Like, did you care if your contractor actually had a piece of paper, or did you care that they actually could perform the job? You know, when was the last time you asked your plumber for their resume? You know, I mean, yes, a plumber probably has to have certification through the state or whatever, but it's the same concept though. Like, you're not, like, you're just assuming that that professional knows what they're doing. And so, you know, same thing with somebody that decides to move forward into doing their own business and working from home. It's like, if you know what you're doing, and somebody else doesn't, like, they're going to hire you. They're not going to sit there and be asking for all your degrees and accolades and all the things that, you know, they think that you should have. I mean, yeah. It's almost insulting to do that, right?
Right, right. So if people want to take some of these courses, you know, because, I mean, I've been in this entrepreneurial online marketing world for a few years now, and it's like, okay, I'm starting to see some themes of webinars and, you know, all these different things that people use to market their courses and their products and stuff. And I, for the longest time, I was like, I'm not buying this. I don't want to, you know, I don't know if this is legit or, you know, and I wanted to get to like the source of where people were learning what they were learning, you know? And that's how, when I stumbled onto like ClickFunnels or, you know, things like that, I was like, okay, seems like a lot of people are learning from a source. I want to learn from that source. Well, how do you know when is, like, at what point do you go, no, this is actually a good quality product that they're putting out here versus I'm going to keep digging deeper and finding another resource.
So social proof is a big deal. You know, if you find a resource that looks like it is something that is of interest to you, you're going to want to check out, do they have a Facebook group where they have an active community and people are praising them and lifting them up? Do they, do they have like snapshots of social proof on their sales page? I mean, there's all sorts of different ways, you know, Google them and see if any bad things come up on their name. Generally, when people are selling a course, if they're any good, people are going to praise them left and right. They are going to talk about how they've been, you know, they have been helped, how this person like changed their life, like all of these things. In most cases, people who are scammy or don't have a good product aren't going to have like a massive following, and you're probably going to start finding complaints about them online. So it's a pretty good, I think, a pretty good indicator if you're seeing a whole bunch of good social proof to determine if other people have been helped. That's at least how I determine when I go about, jumping into somebody's program. I also watch them for a while. Like, I'm watching their content. You know, if they're constantly selling, and they're not providing value and they're not providing these things that you're looking for, that's a pretty good indicator as well. You want to know, like, and trust them. And I think that just comes from hanging around them.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. That's great advice because, yeah, like, they're going to have followers. They're going to have people that are telling you that it's awesome. And then, you know, the cool thing about them having a community, you can connect with people in their communities and say, and talk to them directly. Hey, what are you getting out of this information? Is this really serving you if you need to go do that deeper research? So that's cool.
I do just want to say real quick, yeah, like anybody that's listening to this or whatever, like, I don't want like that idea of like, well, I don't have $1,000 to go buy a course to like stop you. I mean, I teach people to freelance with skills they already have specifically for that reason, because there's a lot of families that just don't have thousands and thousands of dollars to go and like dive in on all of these different topics and learning. And it's a good way to kill your confidence by not starting with something that you're familiar with besides. So like, I just wanted to throw that out there because—
No, that's awesome. Cause you're right. Number one, when I think about the most effective businesses that I've seen when people started, they just saw a problem and tried to, you know, wanted to solve it. Like, yeah, they have a solution. If they want to, like you said, if they want to do their bookkeeping, usually it's because of people who have the means to pay for somebody to do it and don't have the skill to do it. If you say, well, I have the skill, just put it out there, offer it and say, I have that skill. May I do your bookkeeping? You know, that's, and so you just look for a problem to solve and you just put it out there that you have the solution and you can solve that problem.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah. And the thing of it is people can find how to do just about anything on Google. I mean, they can. It's just a matter of how fast do you want it? And that's really the way I look at it. If people, like, I don't have time to dink around and be going through Google and 20 million resources and confuse myself. I just want a step-by-step checklist and I want to get there like yesterday. You know, that's when I tell people, okay, then an investment in a course is probably going to be the wisest, fastest way to get there. If you're somebody that just doesn't have it, like, you can still get started. It's just going to take you longer and that's okay. But it's all dependent on what people deem to be their, you know, important at that point in time for them. So just so that nobody can discourage.
Yeah. Don't worry. There's lots of good resources out there. I mean, we live in the information age, right? And, and it's all at our fingertips. And, you know, I actually, I consider we're in the innovation age, and that's where, and if you can come up with solutions to problems, then you're going in the right path. You know, that's where the money's going. If you can solve the problems and come up with creative ways to solve those problems. Right. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Just a perfect example. Just real quick. So people know what that means, like finding a problem to solve. Okay. I'll just give my little backstory here just because we haven't really gotten to it yet. And I want to make sure that people kind of know where I'm coming from, but I have been freelancing for about 20 years. I was doing transcription. But back in 2013, my husband suffered a stroke at the age of 37, a week after we found out I was pregnant with baby number 7. And throughout like that whole summer, like we had so many different things coming up, like our dog got run over, my car started on fire. Like it was just one of those years where like if it could go wrong, it did, right? And when our son came, he ended up being born with Down syndrome. And there was just no warning that it was coming, that he was going to have it. And that also that he was going to come with some health issues. Mm-hmm. And so he ended up being life flighted the day he was born to Minneapolis, which is 5 hours away from where I live. And throughout his first 18 months, I spent an accumulated like 6 months at the hospital. And one of the things that I realized when I was at the hospital, and of course I was doing my transcription in the hospital room, like I was working next to his crib, right? Like that was my thing. I had clients, I worked on my own schedule. Like that was the way I did it. But one thing that stood out to me while I was there was when I would be leaving the room and coming back and I would be passing by all of these rooms, I would notice that the kids would be in the rooms by themselves and there was no family there. And after seeing this pretty consistently, I remember asking the nurse, I said, why are all these kids here by themselves? And she said, well, mom and dad live far away and they had to go home and go back to work and they come on the weekends. And I was just like, I cannot imagine leaving my son there by himself, right? Well, while I go back home to go to work. I couldn't imagine it. And so from like, I was in the hospital room still, and I started researching, how do I take what I know and help others so that they can be working in the hospital room with their child, you know, so they don't have to leave their child when they're, you know, their child is scared. And I knew that this was something that I wanted to do. And then, but I'm like, how do I do it? Like, how do I put myself out there? How do I do it? And I hadn't quite figured it out, but I remember there was two instances that happened at the hospital that made me know that I absolutely had to pursue it no matter what. And I remember we were sitting in my son's hospital room and a nurse came in and she started closing all of the blinds or the curtains to the hallway. And I could see a nurse across the hall doing the same thing to the room across. And I said, what's going on? And she said, the little kid next door in the room next door, passed away and the parents were donating the organs and they were going to do the hero walk down the hallway and they were giving them privacy. And I just thought, what would I do if I was told that my son wasn't going to come home yet? I've still got bills to pay and I had other kids at home. And like, what would you do? Like, how would you do that? And so I knew from that point forward, like right then and there, like, okay, that's not okay. Like, that is not okay. I've got to figure this out. And 2 days before we left the hospital for the final time, I remember seeing a news report that a grandpa and a two-year-old, his grandson, had fallen through the ice in an ATV, and they were being life flighted to the hospital that we were at. And we were on the top floor, and so when the life flight came, I could hear it landing above our room. And we went home like 2 days later, and I remember a couple weeks later, like, oh, I need to check and see, you know, whatever happened. And they both didn't make it. And I thought, like, that was such a tragedy, you know, that they weren't expecting to happen.
Yeah.
And none of us are prepared for that. Like, none of us are prepared. And so if you're somebody who is having an experience where life just is slapping you in the face, where maybe you're facing a sick child, maybe you're facing losing someone or something, like, don't let the constraints of conformity and society or whatever keep you unhappy or whatever. Like, look for the problem that you can solve. And for me, the problem just fell in my lap, right? Like, I saw it just happen in front of me. Like, the problem was people didn't know how to be at home or how to be in the hospital room with their child while still making an income. Right. And that was the problem that I decided was mine to solve or to help solve. So I just had to throw that out there, like, because it just, it fits with looking for that problem. It might not always be obvious. It might be obvious. But we all have a purpose. I believe that our purpose is not to be here, to go to school, go to work, and do it all over. Like, that's not our purpose. Like, our purpose is to be here, to raise our kids, to raise the next generation, to love and be loved, and to be with family, and to enjoy, and to help people. And I think the more people can realize that and understand that there's options to be able to do that, the better our society is going to be as a whole.
Not only because we are serving each other and having that freedom, but because we also find that fulfilling path of living that calling, whatever that is that we feel like. I love that you found your calling. I love that you're doing this and that you're serving people. And I just want to thank you for what you're doing. And that is so needed and so important. And I'm honored to be able to share your message and be able to share this with my audience. And honestly, like, that story was a great conclusion and, like, heavy hitting of what this is really about, right? Like, that when life is going to throw us these curveballs, we really need to be more prepared. We need to be more present in life and not just, well, I'm supposed to go to work. I got to check off that box and earn that paycheck. Well, there are lots of ways you can earn that paycheck, and it doesn't have to be sacrificing your family time.
Right. So, and the same goes with homeschooling. It's the same thing too, you know, like, it doesn't have to just be your kids go spend the day in a classroom. I mean, we're learning all the time. I mean, there's a reason why it says, oh, learn something new every day, because we do. It doesn't just have to take place in the classroom. So I love what you're doing as well with your audience and making sure that people know that they don't have to live in that box.
I think we need to have you back on just to talk about homeschooling. So we'll do that again soon, I hope, because that is, like, how do you do that? How do you not, you know, how do you not homeschool and oh my gosh, I'm fumbling over my words so much, and we're going to edit this out, but how do you homeschool without having gaps in their education or this, you know, because there's a whole other narrative going on in that is totally separate from whether or not I can even provide an income to be home. And then there's that other separate narrative of education. So that the point of the whole thing is you can do it. And there are resources to help you. And so we're here to encourage you and supply you with those resources. So yeah.
For sure. And to know that you can be 100% in control of your life. That's the beauty of it. Nobody else has to be in control. You can be with your income, you know, with your job title, with your homeschooling your kids. Like, it's just, it's amazing to be on this other side of it.
Yeah. And to let go of this stigma, I'm supposed to be the title. You know, that's the thing of that bothers me the most about all this is, like, this, that you're defined by that title or by that degree, and that your worth is somehow based in that. No, you are worthy as a person, and now just find that thing that's going to be your calling and your mission to serve people and to solve a problem. So that's so powerful.
Yeah. I love it. No, it's awesome. And people have skills that they don't even realize that they can utilize. It's you do. I mean, that's the thing. Everyone has skills. You have the ability to solve a problem. It's just recognizing it for what it is. And of course, when it's so close to you, a lot of times you don't notice. So it's like, surround yourself by somebody that can help pull that out of you.
Awesome. Okay. So where can we connect with you and find out more? I see your website is tarabushaw.com. And you have an ebook. That's cool.
Yeah. Okay. It's Accelerating Your Freelance Journey, the 5-step framework to get you going on your journey faster. You can get that at laptoplifeaccelerator.com/ebook, or you can also find me in my Facebook group, which is Laptop Life Accelerator, if you search Facebook. So
very cool. Tara, I really enjoyed talking to you, and I love your perspective. I love what you're doing to serve families, and just thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Glad you were able to tune in for this episode of the Family Culture Movement. Don't miss the next episode. We learn what John Lee Dumas's opinion of a successful entrepreneur looks like. Again, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Family Culture Movement. Help more people find the show. Download this episode, subscribe to the show, rate it, and leave a review. For more tools for shaping your intentional family culture, be sure to sign up for your free membership of the Family Success Toolbox at homeandfamilyculture.com. Until next time, remember to set your intentions for your family culture and lead your family toward your vision of success.